Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
I started by reading Matthew chapter 17 to us, where Jesus began to share with the disciples, where he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Unto you it is given. That means we have been given access to resource from God's throne, God's economy. We have been given an entire load, shipload of resources that should distinct us, separate us from those who are not part of this kingdom. There are certain things that should work for us and should work in us and work through us. But these things that are already given, they are not things that we need to search for. They have been given. Now, it is a shame if, as a believer, we look for solutions or we look to man for solution while we lay claim to a different reality in Christ. The scripture says that God upholds all things by the word of his power. So if he said to you, it has been given to know the mysteries, that means that there are mysteries that pertain to the economy of heaven. How can you explain somebody who has a growth in his body, or somebody who has been scheduled for a particular surgery, and then you lay hands on that person, and they check that person and they say the growth is gone, or they say that, oh, the cancer is gone? How do you explain these things? Because it has been given to you, these mysteries. The understanding of the economy of heaven has been given to you. Jesus said to the disciple when they asked him, why could we not cast out that devil from that boy? He said, because unto you it has been given. He said, unto you it has... You see, the issue of something being given is that that thing is no more with God. And when you relate with Jesus, you must understand the person of Jesus, you must understand the principles of Jesus. So if you know who Jesus is, if you know who, how glorious he is, how majestic he is, but if you do not understand the things that made him who he was while he was on earth, and permit me to say that Jesus is the pattern son, Jesus is the model, there is nothing anybody is doing today that is going to be so unique or different. In fact, if it is so unique or different from what Jesus did, you should probably stay away from it, to be on the safe side. I'm saying to somebody that is listening to me now, you may not be a pastor, but I'm telling you that if you believe what I'm sharing with you, you can begin to walk in an incredible anointing. Listen to me. There are people who pray, oh God, if you would anoint me, if you would do something great in my life, if you put your power over my life, I want to do great things for you. There is one scripture you have to read. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, for you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you will be my witnesses. What that suggests is that when a man receives Jesus into his life, the Holy Spirit comes into his spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to rest on your inside. But that resting upon your inside is for relationship. That initial infilling of the Holy Spirit is for you to be close to God and to know God. And it is very important. The scripture says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. This suggests again that there is first of all in an area of interest to the Lord, which is in the area of you knowing Him. Knowing Him for who He is. Not knowing Jesus based on what a pastor said. Not knowing Jesus based on what the newspapers say. The newspapers don't like Him. They didn't like Him when He was alive. They are not going to like Him now. Okay? So people are usually afraid of something they cannot interpret. People are usually afraid of something that they cannot put their finger around. What am I saying to you here? When the Holy Spirit came into your life when you became a Christian, it didn't necessarily bring power. It brought the potential of a relationship. It brought the potential for something great. You know, God was speaking to us in the Old Testament and He said, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the man of strength glory in his strength. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knoweth me, saith the Lord. So that is the function of the initial infilling. But if you are someone who has a desire to do great things for God, if you want to have a desire to be able to change lives with the power of God, then there is another thing that must happen to you. The Holy Ghost must come upon you. No, it will not just rest on your inside. It will come upon you. And listen to me. If you attend programs in every church in Lagos, but this will not happen until you have an inclination towards service. Because the moment the Holy Ghost comes upon you, He said He came with power. He said you will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Not that you will receive power then to confirm that the Holy Ghost is upon you. No. He said you receive power after that. That means when it comes with power. It comes to empower you for your office. He empowers you for kingdom assignment. You go out there and begin to trust the Lord and begin to pray and begin to ask for an unction over your life and begin to go out there and begin to lay hands on the sick on the street. And then after a while, you compare results. You are going to feel a surge of power that you could even be quite threatening. I remember several years ago, I wasn't even really doing anything differently. I was not really even like maybe specially fasting or doing anything. But I just noticed in that particular period, almost every case that was brought to me had to do with a level of demonic possession or demonic oppression. And in every one of those cases, at the decree or at the mention of the name of Jesus, those demons were jumping out. So I was just musing to myself, like, it's amazing how you can have so much power and potential in your spirit. And I'm talking about something that happened maybe when I was just around the age of 22. But it just seemed like everywhere I turned and everywhere I looked at, the power of God was just flowing easily. I wasn't really doing anything different. But it's because before then, there was an inclination towards service. There was an inclination towards the work of God. So God will not allow the arm of flesh to do His work. God needs to empower a man for his own work here, because God will not share His glory. God will not send you to war and ask you to go at your own expense. So you need to understand the background to this message that I'm speaking to you about. In this particular case, the disciples were trying to cast out a devil for which they did not have ranking over. They did not have protocol to deal with that kind of a situation at that particular time. And that is also to tell you that potentially you are already above principalities and powers, but it is possible that operationally you may not be able to undo certain things. And it is not because Jesus has not empowered you. It is primarily because of the level of sacrifice, the level of consecration that you have chosen for yourself, for your own life, which may not be higher than the principles that have established what you are confronting. I don't know if somebody's with me now. Now, if you are dealing with a, with, I mean, like, you are dealing with a kind of power where the man you are confronting, for instance, has to sleep in the graveyard for 45 days. For 45 days. But you have a special revelation on how you should be joyful and should always eat to, and magnify God and glory. You don't have anything to do with fasting. You don't have any special revelation on prayer. In fact, for you, every time you pray, you, your scriptures are like, before I call upon him, he has answered me. Those are your special Bible verses. You know, you say, before you call upon me, I will answer you. Yes, I get it. It's in the Bible. But in this particular case, it's not that scripture you will use. That scripture is a word of assurance that he will always hear you even before you talk. He didn't say you should not pray. I don't know if you got that difference. It's a word of assurance. It's not a scripture telling you you don't need to pray. It's just telling you that before you even open your mouth, he's there to listen. You know? So if you are dealing with a power or a force that in principle maintains a higher level of concentration than you are doing, you may spend a lot more time trying to handle that situation, and it will not be because you don't have faith. That problem may linger may not be because you don't have faith. It may be because the principles that establish that thing you are confronting may be operating at a level of concentration that is higher. And that's why you will find that in Daniel chapter 11, I think probably verse 32, he said, it is those who know their God that will be strong. He didn't say, oh, the Christians who know their God. Oh, he didn't say the Nigerians who know their God, the Americans who know their God. He said it is to those who know their God that will be strong. That means if I do not know my God, I will be weak. I will be weak. And I will be exploited. Oh my God. I don't know if somebody heard me now. He said, if I do not know my God, if I know my God, I will be strong and do exploit. Therefore, if I do not know my God, I will be weak and be exploited. Which was what happened to the disciples. They were exploited. They were disgraced. If Jesus had not come in at that moment, it would have been a complete mess. Which is what brings me to the message of today. One of the areas where God has earmarked for us to establish the principle of sacrifice, to establish the principle of consecration in such a way that it can be calculated and it will accrue to us, is in the area of praying extensively and fasting. Hallelujah. It's in the area of extensive praying and fasting. I'm not just talking about praying. I'm talking about praying extensively. Okay? And in 2022, I recommend you build your prayer life around the Daniel model. Daniel prayed according to the watches. Daniel's prophetic anointing rested on his prayer life. There was a way Daniel prayed. He prayed every three hours. Okay? He prayed every three hours. Now, listen to me. There is a sense in which we are getting a lot of things mixed up. If you ask people to come for a prayer meeting, they don't want to come. If you ask people to come for a concert, everywhere is going to be filled. Listen to me. I don't care who is organizing the concert. There are certain things God did not apportion to concert. He apportioned them to people who bend their knees in prayers and fasting. He said, and as they worshiped the Lord and as they fasted before him, the Holy Ghost spoke and said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. It's just the way it is. And this is not to discount the place of worship, because you cannot actually be a true prayer man without understanding the power of worship. You cannot. But there's a sense in which today, people just want to roll out the drums. and tell you, oh, this is Christmas now. See, let's come and sing unto the Lord. Let's rejoice before him and all of that. And we are doing all of that stuff without revelation. We don't even have an idea because it is comfortable to dance. Because somewhere in our mind, we confuse the art of worship for singing. Singing can be a channel. Dancing can be a channel to express our worship. But worship happens in the spirit. Those who know him, they will worship him in spirit and in truth. So worship is not an activity of the outer court. Worship is not an activity for those who just think it's about singing and dancing. Worship is not for those who think they need to modulate their voice till they begin to sound like somebody from Pluto, you know, just to give us a sense of heaven in their music. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about you bending your knees and praying and cracking the atmosphere and praying, especially, look, listen to me, especially when you've got stuff going on in your life or you've got stuff going on in your family. Jesus said that there is a sense in which faith may not be the only requirement. He said, because what you need generally, according to Matthew chapter 17, is that why could we not cast him out? He said, because of your unbelief. So he identified that faith is the primary requirement for this operating in the supernatural. Then Jesus went ahead and told us that there are other conditions that could define or influence certain outcomes, which may not be because a man did not have faith. And he began to talk about prayer and fasting. And by prayer and fasting, what he meant was the law or the principle of sacrifice, of denial. That there are certain spirits that will not listen to you if you are someone that is given to pleasure. Now, is it possible that some of the things that we are struggling with are happening because we have not yet gotten to the point of embracing not just 2 or 3 days of fasting, but a lifestyle of self-denial and sacrifice? Is it possible? The truth of the matter is that we cannot shy away from it. This is where we are cooked. This is where we draw our strength from. When Jesus left the disciples, he told them to tarry in Jerusalem. And what were they doing? They were listening to the word of God and they were praying. There is a sense in which every time I turn away from something else I could have been doing, and I convert that same timing into another spiritual activity, it begins to yield certain results, helping me to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. They are evil. So even when you want to operate in the anointing, for those of you who have a desire to operate very strongly in the anointing, you cannot do it without a life of self-denial and consecration, especially in the way you order your life secretly before the Lord. Our Lord Jesus was teaching us, and he said that when you fast, you should not behave as the Pharisees who want to make an open show. In fact, Jesus recommended that you should wear your perfume and you should look good if you are fasting. I don't know if I can get that scripture, but I would, if I can, I would. Okay, I think it's somewhere in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 18. Let me see if I can read that. Okay, so let me see if I can. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 18. Look at Amplified Version, verse 17. It said, but when you fast, perfume your head, wash your face, so that your fasting may not be noticed by men, but by your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. That means that Jesus clearly notified us that there is a reward that goes with fasting. Jesus was telling us, It's not just about when you have a problem and you are trying to fix that problem. Jesus is saying every time you decide to separate yourself and you pull yourself out of the cloud and you hide yourself, because the scripture says in Psalms 45, it says you are the God that hides yourself. See, you are the God that hides yourself. So every time you choose to hide yourself and you separate yourself from the multitude and you begin to seek him, what God is saying is that I've got reward for those who separate themselves unto me. Now, if you now take this scripture that I just read, where Jesus said, God will reward you in the open when you fast and you separate yourself. Then you now come back into Matthew chapter 17, where the disciples were disgraced publicly. And Jesus said that there was no way they would have been able to cast out that devil if they were not living a life of fasting and prayer. You now see that the reward God gives, the public reward that God gives to a man who fasts in the secret place, is the public display of power and glory in his life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said the reward that God allocates publicly to a man that fasts and prays is the open display of power that God brings into manifestation when the grace of God over your life is being threatened. This is very serious stuff here. So you need to protect this corner of your life. When you are waiting upon the Lord, you have to. Jesus said it is a secret transaction. It is an inner court transaction. It is not something you do and then everybody can tell that you are fasting. Some people wouldn't probably even iron their shirt. They wouldn't do stuff. They just hang in. Everybody knows that a lot of churches fast in the month of December, and this is how they have chosen to dress to the office today. No, Jesus said, use some perfume, look good, dress well, change the color of your hair. Have one part pink, have the other part red, and just look good. You understand what I'm saying? Look good, and let nobody be able to tell that you are actually with them, but in the realm of the spirit, you are in the holiest of holies. So these are transactions of the spirit realm. These are transactions of a higher realm. Now, let me also say this to you from the scripture in Matthew chapter 17 I was referring to on Sunday and that I'm still making reference to now. Jesus seemed to, state from that story that demons recognize ranking. That demons recognize ranking based on the allocation of time to the matter of prayer and fasting. There are people who want a prophetic word, but they don't want to pray. They don't know that the prophetic realm hinges on the life of prayer. There are people that want a miracle, but they don't want like prayer meeting. When you say, come, let's pray in tongues for 45 minutes, let's pray in tongues for 2 hours, they are tired, because for them, how can I be saying the same thing for 2 hours? Some of them are just wondering, how do these guys even do it? Listen to me. Let me tell you, it's not fun. In case you think it's something we enjoy it in the spirit, but our flesh doesn't like it. It takes a lot of discipline to train yourself to pray for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and you just stay there and you are praying in tongues, so many times without interpretation. So don't worry. That thing you are feeling is what we are feeling. The only difference is that we made up our mind to stay there. So when you just want us to pray and then you just, like a magic wand, I want you to know that these are things you can even do if you begin to allocate some time to some of these things. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, there are pastors with very big Bibles who are not anointed. And God doesn't mind. Satan doesn't even mind. Satan already knows that they are not a threat. God could have commissioned Paul the apostle to his apostleship in Jerusalem. God waited for him to get into Antioch when he was fasting and prayer. Listen to me. There's this thing about being able to hear God clearly or hear God in details when you fast and pray for extended period of time. And I'm not just talking about one day fasting here. I'm not just talking about 30 minutes praying. I'm talking about extended moments of prayer. If you know there are things you have to deal with, you have to contend with on your own, that your parents will not be there, your husband will not be there, your family will not be there, I recommend this model. People just want something quick. But God is not in the Kentucky Fried Chicken business. God cooks like the way our parents, they take their time to do it. Demons recognize ranking. I mean, there was this guy that came and they tried to cast out a devil, and the devil was able to scan them. Please don't say, oh, it's in the Old Testament. I'm talking about the book of Acts. The guy had a demon, and the demon was able to scan those boys. And he said, Paul, I know. We know him. Paul had never met that man that was possessed. But you see, there's a centralized database where they can check you out. He said, Jesus, hey, Baba, we know. But your names, I can't find your names. The moment that demon could not find the names of those boys, he knew that they were under him ranking-wise. So I don't want you to gamble and say, oh, maybe this is for pastors. No, if you are hearing me, God wants you to operate in power. God wants you to operate in supernatural authority. God wants you to operate in dominion. But it is tied to a lot of things. To operate in dominion, you must obey the will. You must stand by the will of God. You must find the will of God and stand there. You must raise the authority of God's word over your life above anything that is public opinion. That's what I was saying to you last week. I don't have a problem with those who want to move getting vaccinated. I only have a problem when a pastor decides to make that the only message he preaches, and they even do flyer and design, tell you to go get vaccinated, but you don't see them on the street winning souls and doing stuff. I mean, John G. Lake did ministry in South Africa, and there was an epidemic, and John G. Lake would go in with his team, and they were not infected by that virus. And every time they say, well, how are you able to say, there's a life that is on the inside of me. It's the life of God. It's the Zoe of God. If that life comes into contact with anything that is below the quality of that life, that thing will die. And then he told them to try it. Somebody today will say, oh, they are trying to put God's power to test. But they tried it, and the viruses began to die. So we are not talking about, oh, maybe that happened in time of Moses. I'm talking about John G. Lake. It happened in South Africa here. So let's not behave like Gideon and begin to say, oh, if God is with us, where, how come we don't see these things anymore? God is ready to release that power again if he can find you in the right place. Come, I want you to declare, Lord, I'm available. I want you to declare, Lord, I'm available for you. I'm available for your glory. I'm available to run with your mission. I'm available to be used by you as a signpost that Jesus is still alive. So demons understand ranking. When Jesus got there, Jesus didn't ask the demon anything. He rebuked that spirit, and the demon came out self-same hour. That's dominion. And let me tell you something. There are many of us who are dealing with situations because even though the Lord told us he has intervened, somewhere in our mind, we want to see the manifestation before we believe. If you have spent time in prayer and the Lord says, stop praying, I've heard you. If you continue that prayer, it is unbelief. You are operating in unbelief. I had this experience a few years ago. We were going to have our second child, and it was a very challenging, period for us, because my wife was always healed. And I remember then that we used to pray, and I took the matter to the Lord, but I kept praying and asking the Lord, like, if for help, And at some point, the Lord said, don't pray about it again. So the Lord said, don't pray about it again. So I just felt like, this thing, we have not seen what we are looking for. And now God said, don't pray. Me, I will pray. And then I said, don't pray about it again. You see, faith power becomes active and is released in obedience. Jesus already said, this kind means stubborn situation, stubborn problems, faith-resistant problems can be dealt with if you add praying and fasting to it. Jesus already said it. So if I obey this word, my faith becomes active and is turbocharged. My faith becomes turbocharged. It's like moving from a 504 Peugeot to driving a racing car. The car you use in Formula One at the Dubai, you know, racing thing they do there. You know, so we are talking about driving a turbocharged car. You are taking the battle out of the realms where the devil can influence, and you are moving at a super speed. The Lord said, "Don't pray." So I decided, guys, okay, the Lord said, "Don't pray." Let me begin to thank him. Which is also a principle in the word of God. But God said, don't talk about it again. So every other thing you try to do is automatic unbelief. Then I started praising God. Unconsciously, I was now converting my prayer request into prayer of thanksgiving. Father, I thank you, because even though you say I should not pray, I know that it is well with my wife. I thank you, as well with the baby. I thank you. But if I was going to pray, all I needed to do was remove the Father, I thank you, and just say, Father, touch my wife. Touch. He still said, so the Lord said, look, young man, I said, don't pray about it. That pregnancy was the shortest in the labor room. It's just like it, just walk in and walk out. But that was because, you know, we obeyed God. It wasn't easy. And I get you. That's why I told you that there are certain indices that you have to put together, like obedience to God's word. When God speaks to you, if the Lord says, I want you to wait upon me first 3 days of every month in fastings and prayer, don't allow your friend in the next room who has chosen to be eating jollof rice with fried rice and with carrots and all of that, and she's suffocating you with all those nice aroma, move out of the house, and you can come to my house if you, because I'm not going to cook that for you, especially when I know what God has said. I will just lock the kitchen up. This is how to develop stature and ranking. A lot of people know the Bible, but they are suffering because they don't even know how to apply in a timely way what God has said. If God says to you, I'm going to give you a business. I'm going to give you a business. You need to wait on him to find out and take full delivery of that which he has said. Also is the principle of patience. What I'm saying to you here is that for fasting and prayer to deliver the kind of result you are looking at, you must engage it till it begins to take a toll on you. Till it becomes an element, a strong element of sacrifice, where you can actually afford to be eating on Christmas Day, but you have chosen to wait upon him. You are not trying to prove a point. You are just drawing near to him. This issue of ranking doesn't happen overnight. You build your way into it. So what somebody got by waiting on the Lord consistently and following the Lord Jesus, walking with him for 10, 15 years, you want to get it by one laying of hands, you must be a crook. Doesn't happen that way. And that is why, you know, there's this other thing I find. We have people who don't believe this kind of message and they don't obey it. Even when a prophet now who does this thing lays hands on them, they still don't get anything. I've seen this one happen severally. I've seen this happen severally. Oh, I could tell you stories, but maybe those people are even online, so let me just keep quiet. So demons recognize ranking. They do. They know if you are their mate, they know. They know. You may be dressed like a bishop, but you may mean nothing to them. Don't forget that this same Peter, or the disciples, had been sent out by Jesus before now, and they were able to cast out and did healings and miracles, but they didn't encounter this kind. So, Jesus said, when the bridegroom is taken away, say they will fast. They will fast. So, welcome to 2022, the year of multiple fasting. And let me tell you this. I want you to look forward to it. It's not like anybody's going to come and tell you you need to fast. You will apportion the fasting like jollof rice to yourself. Tomorrow we are going to have jollof rice. That's fasting. 3 days. Then next 3 weeks we are going to have pizza. Pizza. You know, I don't know what flavor you like, but that's another 3 days. So you'll be doing it. Because let me tell you something. Something's going to happen next year. The spirit realm is going to blend into the earth realm in a very powerful way. Only people who have stayed with God, who have prioritized staying with God, will be able to hold their ground. And I'm not just talking about personally, I'm talking about nations. Nations. So my appeal and encouragement to us is that we have the potential to operate in supernatural power, but that power can be locked up on your inside because you are not trained to manifest at that level. I mean, Jesus didn't do anything special. He just got there and he rebuked the devil. I prefer to spending 6 hours with God than spending 6 hours trying to cast out the devil. This is serious stuff here. The law of sacrifice is one of the underlining and most powerful mysteries of the kingdom. That if you want to matter in this kingdom, it will cost you something. When Jesus called Peter, he took away his business. When Jesus called Paul, he took away his career. He told that rich young man, he said, carry your bag and follow me. Then somebody, the Lord said, look, the assignment I'm giving to you, use 40% of your salary every month or your income, send it to your church. 40%. So if that woman is, or that man is earning a million naira, 400,000 is going to God's work every month. If she compares herself with somebody who only believes in tithing, she's going to make a mistake. Because if that woman dies that day, the basis for assessment of her reward, for her reward in heaven, will be on those instructions God gave her, not on whether she was a tither. If that woman went ahead and paid 10% tithe, it would not have mattered anymore. Because what the Lord said to her is that 40% of everything you earn. If you want to matter in this kingdom, you must be a person, a man or a woman of sacrifice. People don't know this. And that's why we resort to Facebook Christianity. The owner of Facebook is not born again. He doesn't care about what we do. The name was changed to Metaverse or Meta. Meta is a Hebrew word for death. Death, D-E-A-T-H. The original meaning of Meta is death. So they know what they are doing. But you don't know. They know where they are going. So they put everybody under the umbrella of death. I don't know if somebody is listening to me now. Because that guy who owns that Meta thing, is actually Jewish by background. So he knows exactly what he's doing. And they code all these things with fancy names and they try to make everything look okay and all right. And you think that somebody will spend billions of dollars putting servers in the space, putting up satellites to put something free in your hands. And you think there is no agenda. And you are there still waiting for some believers will never post anything serious. You just find them is when they have maybe one nice dish in front of them, they just snap it and put it on Facebook. Oh, this is my breakfast today. That's the only thing they are known for. Just snap your food and put it on Facebook. People begin to like and comment. Listen to me. There is an agenda. There is nothing that is going on right now that is happening as a result of a mistake. There's no mistake. Then there is nothing God is doing now that is a by chance thing. Everybody except believers, everything that is going on right now is deliberate, both on God's side and on Satan's side. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. If God is telling us that there are certain demons, there are certain powers we have to contend with, that we cannot contend with food in our stomach, believe me, Jesus knows. Believe me, Jesus knows. The scripture said that there was a day Jesus went to pray, and as he went to pray, the Bible said he continued all through the night. You know, and that really just struck me. you know, that Jesus went to pray and he just stayed there till the end of the day. You know, he continued. And let me tell you something. There are people that we, no matter what you do, they are going to find offense at your walk with God. They are going to find offense with your position. You don't, if you want to walk with God, you have no business, you know, wanting to please people. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have no business. You are not going to ever get anywhere. You are not ever going to look at this scripture. There was this particular scripture in Luke chapter 6. I think if you read a few verses, but maybe with emphasis on verse 10. Luke chapter 6. Look, there's this particular guy. Jesus came to the temple, and then this guy was, he had a withered hand. I mean, this guy was in church. The people who were mad at this man were also people who were in church. These are religious people. People who believe that, oh, you are not qualified to be free. People who just believe that, oh, because she did an abortion before, she has no right. She's not entitled to a second chance. Okay? I will come on another day and give you 10 to 15 signs of religious people. Okay? There are people who believe you don't have a right to anything. This guy was in church. Jesus also came to church. Jesus came to church. You know, and the guy wanted to be healed. And these people are like, oh, you can't get healed because it's on the Sabbath day. You know, you have to come another day. And Jesus don't come every day, you know. So, this guy was just there. You know, and Jesus was looking at them like, you guys, when your animals fall into the ditch on Sunday or on the Sabbath day, you pick your animals and you bring it out. Do you leave it in the ditch? He said, this guy wants to be healed. What is the problem here? I'm trying to understand why we have so much Bible in our head, but no power. Just come out straight and tell us that you don't have power. You don't operate in the power of God. Come out straight and tell us that even though you are the commander general or the secretary of the church, or that you are a pastor over 5,000 people, and you just come out and tell us that you're a motivational speaker, we'll be fine. But this guy needs a manifestation of power. And we have people like this guy in Luke chapter 6 and verse 10 that come to church every time. They want the touch of God. Their hands are withered. Their lives are withered. Their marriages are withered. Their children are going through challenges. Their workspace is withered. Their businesses are dying. We have people who come to church, and then we have some people who feel that somebody don't deserve nothing simply because, you know, these guys, today is Sabbath day. Well, today was supposed to be a praise program. It's not supposed to be a healing service, you know. And look at what Jesus did to that man. In verse 10, Luke chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible said, then he glanced around all of them and then said to the man, stretch out your hands. And the man did so, and his hand was fully restored like the other one. This is the kind of believer I want to be. This is the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be a Christian that is able to walk in the power of God. I want to be a Christian that is able to walk in the grace of God. I want to be a Christian that is able to help many people free of charge. I want to be that kind of Christian. That way they say, oh, Jesus lives on that street. If you want your problem solved, Jesus lives on that street. I like to be that kind of person. I like to get phone calls from people who I don't know. And they say, oh, somebody gave me your number and asked me to call you. I like those kind of calls, because it means that Jesus is still in the house. I like those kind of calls. I don't like to be among those pointing to one other place when I have the Holy Ghost and I'm pointing to some other place. So what have you been doing? What have you been doing? And this has nothing to do with being a pastor. It has everything to do with each and every one of us being serious believers and taking a step of faith to operate in this thing. There are many of you, or some of you who are listening right now, you have dealt with health issues. That could be a pointer that there's a healing anointing that is about to come upon your life. And as you begin to operate in that healing anointing, it also benefits you. Go out and begin to pray for the sick. Don't do it in your strength, just in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and do it. The day somebody tells you, after you prayed for me, I saw a change, your faith will take a leap and you are not coming back again. I'm telling you, go try it. Some of you don't even know how anointed you are. Then you now begin to wait on the Lord. And listen, let me tell you something. When I'm talking about the law of sacrifice, I'm talking about fasting and prayer, it's not just about food. Sometimes you need to shut down that phone. Sometimes you're not picking calls. You're not picking calls. It's not this, stop this old thing like, oh, I've been trying to reach you, blah, blah. You know, if you call me, I'm not picking, send a message. There's something on that phone, it's called the SMS or a WhatsApp. Send the WhatsApp. If I'm praying, should I leave my prayer and pick your call? I mean, it is the person I'm praying to that will empower me to also solve your problem. So I'm talking about a new level where we draw near to God. Like our life depends on it, because our life depends on it. And then from there we receive empowerment and ranking to be able to rise above the operations of Satan in our area, in our community. And we are able to shut down principalities and power. I had a friend who used to live in France. I said, I'm beginning to round up. Because everywhere religion thrives, the power of God will leave that place. Everywhere religion thrives, everywhere religion is celebrated, the power of God leaves that place. My friend lives somewhere in France, and she was saying to me that many of the churches have closed down in France. Some of the churches that are trying to be Pentecostal are beginning to have closed down in France, a lot of them. And I said, so what happened? She said, oh, they are being replaced by witches, shops run by witches. I don't know what they call them, but they have these shops where, you know, that are opened and run by witches, white witches, they claim. They sell you potions. Oh, if you feel there are spirits in your area, in your house, you are not sleeping well, buy this candle, or buy this particular perfume, spray this in your room, and the demons will go away. Then you read this thing, your spirit guides will begin to come around you. You will see them in your dreams. They start to say all kind of rubbish. But you see, all those things happened the moment they shut down the churches. There is no vacuum spiritually. There is no vacuum spiritually. There will be no vacuum. God abhors vacuum. He even taught us, and he said, if a demon is cast out of a place and that place is not properly, you know, covered up, the demon will come back with eight others. That's how serious the matter is. God, the moment they pushed out the churches, they started having, you know, some of these witches coming out. They will rent shops and begin to sell magic potions and begin to sell stuff to people. And then the people are just, and then my friend was saying, oh, you know what? I buy them, some of them, they really work. They really work. I give glory to Almighty. Ah. Then I said, wait, oh, you bought some of those things and they work and you are giving glory to the Almighty. Then I said, sorry, oh, when you say Almighty, what do you mean by Almighty? Is it Jesus? She said, no, it's not Jesus. So, you know, I also subscribe to, what is this, gray message or something. You see what I'm saying? Now, these are people that are consultants. I have chats with them, HR consultants, and they do all these things before they come into the boardroom. They do all these, you know, confessions and all of that. Meanwhile, if we ask believers to say confessions, they will start bringing all kinds of scriptures on why it's not compulsory to say what is impressed in their spirit. You can't open your mouth and say, I have the life of God in me. My spirit is insulated from attack. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I'm walking in the wisdom of God. They can't say, but all those people, some of them, they are IT consultants. They are from India. Some of them are like this particular person is an HR consultant. Do you know what I'm saying? But they do all this. This particular person is blonde. She's blonde. She's white hair and she's white and all. But she doesn't joke with it. She doesn't joke with it. And then you watch an average American film today, and they are selling the same thing subliminally to all of us. And we still don't get it. And then we have all the revelations around just going to concerts or worship programs. And what's the sacrifice in getting into a bus and going for a concert where there are 10,000 people? If there's no sacrifice involved, let us lock the door. No instrument, no drum, no nothing. Then let us begin to worship God for 10 hours and see if it becomes a sacrifice. The issue is not that you organize a concert. Anybody can organize anything. I mean, how many times do you see people misbehaving in prayer? There's only one thing we do in prayer. We pray for 10 hours. But I mean, you can have a concert and people begin to misbehave and behaving like they are not even in the house of God. So what are we talking about here? The price for ranking is sacrifice. The price for promotion spiritually is sacrifice. And if we give our attention to this, I can assure you, before you hit the sixth month of next year, you would have begun to see clear-cut results. And I pray that these words will find a resting place. This is not a message to be preached to anybody. Is for everybody, including myself. We need to wait on God more. We are not waiting on Him enough. We are not spending time with the Lord. Most times when we even say we are praying 2-3 hours, it's just our problems we came to talk about. Most of the times. Is it possible that we prioritize God's presence this new year? Is it possible that we make a decision to go into the new year with God? That God is not just a public show thing we do, but is the God of the secret, the God of our secret. Is it possible that we begin to develop that relationship with God? Because it is they that know their God that shall be strong, and we do exploit. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word this evening. And Lord, we ask over everyone, including the speaker, that you will cause your word to flow afresh with power and with the release of grace, that over everyone that has heard these words tonight, it will cause a strengthening and a re-energizement in our spirits to begin to pay the price of waiting on you, of loving you, of choosing you first, so that we may be the true sons of our Father, that we will not just be known by miracles, but we'll be known because we spend time with you. You won't say to us, oh, depart from me because you are workers of iniquity. No, you will say, these are my children. Come close. Come into your reward. That, Lord, you will prepare our hearts to be on fire for you, to love you more, to walk in revelation knowledge. That the book, the word of God, will become open to us and we'll be able to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, we now ask over everyone, Lord, you will open to us the gates of righteousness that we might come in. Open to us the gates of thanksgiving so that we might come in. Open to us the gates of rejoicing that we might come in. That as we come before your presence, that Lord, you will cause us to find the word of assurance and the word of prophecy that we may rejoice and that all the glory will return to you. In Jesus' mighty name.